You're with SBS Radio.
Tourism is big business across the nation, yet many tour companies have suffered due to the pandemic. Yet this is not the case for one Aboriginal-owned and operated guided walk in Tasmania's northeast, which is the Wookalina Walk and is situated on Palawa Country. So imagine you have the chance to work on the traditional country of your own ancestors while educating and informing visitors on the ancient land and waters in your region. Well, this is exactly what elders and young ones are doing. The four-day guided tour offers locals and international tourists the chance to learn more about Palawa culture and history. I'm Kerry Lee Harding and this is the NITV podcast.
It's an insight that can't be replicated. So in terms of the Wookalina Walk, it's in an area that is important to the Aboriginal community, you know, by far and away. The whole of Tasmania is important to the Aboriginal community, but this area is their cultural homeland. So you're really getting it's just not replicable in terms of the special insight that our guests receive in terms of going onto that cultural homeland, hearing those stories.
You just heard there from Jill Parsi, General Manager at the Wookalina Walk, and you'll hear more from Jill coming up in this podcast.
I was pretty much just trying to find a career path and everything like that. Wasn't really doing too much with myself at that time because I was only 18, so they decided to get in contact with my family over on Cape Barron when they were travelling, and ended up putting me through the guiding course early 2018. So I went and done the 3-month tour guiding course through TasTAFE in Hobart, and I came a part of the walk after their first season. You might as well say that they started up. And I've been a part of the walk for the last 3 seasons now.
You just heard there from Carletta Thomas, a Palawa woman who is one of the experienced tour guides who is more than passionate about her role in community. And the walk is more than just a guided tour. It actually supports young Aboriginal people like Carletta to create a unique career path.
Pretty much it's the first Aboriginal owned and operated walk of its kind, obviously based in Lutawita, and it pretty much is obviously about obviously, one of our elders, Clyde Mansell, he obviously pretty much came up with the idea of obviously wanting to start up a Tasmanian Aboriginal tourism business, obviously, in Lutawita because of how many other, you know, tourism businesses there were going on at that time. So he wanted to obviously create up an experience that would be obviously, you know, owned and operated and run by us, but then give an opportunity for young community members like myself to obviously come up and kind of take a step forward and actually become kind of a role model for our community. But then on the other hand, obviously making kind of a profit for our community as well at the same time, and then giving a cultural awareness for the people that obviously have had that, I guess, perception of Tasmanian Aboriginal culture, of how much, you know, we don't have and things. So Uncle Clyde pretty much wanted to create this experience and give us as a community the opportunity to obviously work on country and get paid for it, but then as well as learn and learn each time we come out from other people as well.
The Wookalina Walk in Tasmania was created back in 2014, as Jill Parsi, General Manager, explains.
I was invited to go to a meeting with the then Secretary of the Department of Economic Development. So this is back in 2014. He asked me if I'd like to go to a meeting with Heather Sculthorpe, Clyde Mansell and Graham Gardner from the Aboriginal Land Council. And Clyde had, you know, I think he'd spent probably at that stage about 10 years or so working through this concept around having Aboriginal people being able to go back onto country and make that into a business that was sustainable and employed Aboriginal people over time. And of course, that lent itself to a tourism business. So he'd had this this concept in mind for a 3-night, 4-day guided walk, and essentially he'd talked to the community and they were very supportive. So he'd approached the secretary at the time of economic development and said, you know, would you like to come to a meeting and have a conversation around this proposal? You know, obviously looking for support for the proposal, but also advice in terms of, you know, working in the tourism sector, which not a lot of Tasmanian Aboriginal people were at that stage. So essentially I was invited to a meeting and I went and met with those guys, and I thought the proposal was fantastic, as did the secretary at the time, and enjoyed meeting Clyde and Heather and Graham, and thought, oh, this is something that really should and could have legs. And it grew from there, really. So then the proposal that they put forward that day, which is, say, 2014, is actually what has been delivered. So it hasn't actually moved far from Clyde's original vision, Clyde and others' original vision. It really is what's been delivered. So that's pretty exciting in itself that, you know, it's so close to what they wanted to do in terms of getting people onto their country and explaining their culture.
So how does the Wukalina Walk work? And what does it offer visitors who come from all over the world to visit this beautiful location?
So we start off at our Elder Centre in Launceston, which obviously we usually end up there at about 8:30 or so. Obviously the guests start to come in. We obviously pack up our gear and everything like that, and then we travel along from Launceston alongside the Cunnamulooka, which is the Tamar River. So we travel alongside there out through Bridport, and we stop in there as well, and then we actually go into Wukalina National Park, which is Mount William National Park, and then we do our walk up the summit. So obviously do our little welcome to country and things before we continue up the summit, and then we do obviously interps and talk about obviously the connection of our people of the Northeast Nation, and especially to Wukalina, the mountain itself, because obviously that was a signal place for our people when obviously the sealers and everything were coming through this coastline. They would actually be able to signal a fire from Wukalina over to the islands on Cape Barron, and that would obviously signal to the community over on Cape Barron that them sealers are coming through, so pretty much, you know, hide the women and children from them. And then we continue down the summit, so then we walk 11 km that day, and we actually created our own track from Wukalina into our base camp, which is Krikani Lumi, and Krikani means sit and rest, and Lumi is place, so resting place. And then we stay there for 2 nights. So that night, obviously, when we get into camp, we have pretty much a seafood dinner. We have dampa, and we sit around the fire and obviously do our smoking ceremony, and then tell our creation story as well. And then on the second day, it's pretty much situated around camp. So then we take the guests around to a living place. So obviously a midden and things like that. Tell them obviously about that area and obviously how old it is and the trading that obviously would have happened. And then on the third day is our big beach walk, which obviously the guests are doing today, which is 18 km along the coast of Larapuna. So they go from Krikani Lumi, walk all of the coastline up to Larapuna. And then, yeah, when we get to Larapuna, pretty much, and they get here, obviously, it's pretty good, pretty flash and things like that, and it's really relaxed, obviously, from that long beach walk. So then they just really relax, and then that fourth day, we go around Larapuna, go up the lighthouse and talk about the significance of the lighthouse and what our community has done to obviously help obviously with the birds and everything like that with the light itself. And then we travel 1:30 on on the last day, and then we head back to the same place that we started from, so the Elders Centre.
The location of the walk and the campsite itself, you know, really actually ties it into the islands to the north, Cape Barron, you know, the Furno group, which is critical to the Aboriginal story, Flinders Island, etc. So it ties the guests as well as our guides into an area that's critical to them for the past story, but their future as well as the community. As I say, cultural homeland in terms of the land that Manawagannon walked on. And so once you're on that country as a guest, you're really getting an incredible insight that absolutely cannot be delivered by any other tourism business in this state. And it's a new business. It's growing. It's a learning environment for our guests as well as for our guides to some extent. We're bringing more and more community onto country through this business, through the employment, but also through bringing elders out and having them meet the guests. You know, the creation story, the interpretation, everything that's being delivered is in effect groundbreaking for the community in terms of being able to tell their story in their own words and in their own time. And also bringing, you know, the chance to participate in cultural activities in terms of kelp baskets, you know, basket weaving, etc. You know, that can't be done. It probably can be done in small workshops and things across Tasmania, but really to be able to be on the country, immersed with the guides, sitting with them, telling the stories, you know, eating the food that's prepared by the Aboriginal elders, etc. It's really a visceral experience. It's life-changing, and that's what our guests are telling us when they come back off the walk.
Carlita Thomas is a young and proud Palawa woman who is extremely proud of the work she does as a tour guide on the Wukalina Walk.
It's absolutely an unbelievable job that I've obviously been able to be a part of, especially because I came in at such a young age, and obviously I was born and raised over in Cape Barron Island as well, so I obviously had a little bit of influence of understanding my culture and things like that with my nan, but actually coming in and having this walk to come into, especially, and how much they've been able to open it up to obviously the broader community as well, and just being able to learn as much as I have from the elders and the people that are involved in the walk is so amazing. And I've been able to grow myself as a person as well, because, you know, a lot of our young ones especially, we don't kind of know our place, kind of thing. And for me, coming out, going through that course and coming into Wukalina, I've really found and grounded myself, especially within myself. And I kind of have been able to, you know, get back into the shell necklaces and the weaving and things like that, and the water carriers and everything like that. So I'm just really honoured to be able to be a part of that, but then to share what I know and then what I've learnt while obviously working with these guys, and being able to share it to people that are coming from all walks of life and all areas of the world, just through our little walk in Luta Luta, is unreal, really. It's it was a big change when obviously we got big, you know, people from overseas and everything like that. I was just absolutely gobsmacked of that. People are actually, you know, really intrigued in obviously coming to Wukalina, especially, and how different our walk is to obviously, I guess, any other tourism experience that obviously they've been on as well, is because a lot of our guests say that we put a lot of, you know, personal stuff and obviously a lot more into it than just obviously the guiding side of it.
Many visitors take part in the walk from all over the world, and more recently, due to COVID, more local tourists have been visiting. So, what is some of the feedback from those taking part in the Walkalina Walk?
People ask me, you know, how do you describe the walk and how do you describe your experience as a non-Aboriginal person working with the community on this project for the last 6 years. I'd have to say that, you know, I sum it up in probably three words. It's resilience, it's forgiveness, an incredible level of forgiveness, which is quite beyond anything I can kind of grasp, and poise. They show a remarkable amount of poise, which kind of surprises people because they kind of go, oh, that's not how I would have thought, you know, you would describe Aboriginal people in the state or in any state kind of thing in a lot of ways. But that's what I see constantly, and that's what the guests feed back to us. They might not use those words, but that's what they say to me. They're saying, we can't believe that they're so kind, caring, that they're so willing to share their stories, they're so giving of themselves. Because, you know, when you're delivering cultural interpretation from your own culture, it's quite exhausting. It's emotional and all those things, and our guides are very generous with that. So I think the guests come back saying, well, we're in awe of that. We feel privileged, we feel grateful that we've had this chance to, you know, to be given this insight, but in such a kind and caring way. Our guides are really quite special. And you know, they're learning themselves as well. You know, they're learning about themselves. They're growing in their skills base, but they're also, you know, they're learning how to interact and tell their story in a way that will take people out into the community. After they leave the walk, and they'll become advocates for the Tasmanian Aboriginal community. That's obviously what we hope. I think our guests basically feel blown away, really. Pretty excited, grateful, happy, and they change their view. They change their worldview. There's no question they come onto the walk. I mean, it depends on their starting point, obviously, but there's no question they come onto the walk. Absolutely changed by it, in the sense that they are in awe, as I am, that the community has been able to be so resilient and is still here and so strong today after really what has been a massive onslaught against their culture, you know, for 200 years.
So, what is it like for Jill Parsi as General Manager of Walkalina Walk to be working on this guided walk as the only non-Indigenous person to be involved?
I feel privileged, actually. I feel, privileged to be around them. I've learned a lot about myself. I've certainly learned a lot about, you know, privilege and racism and all those things that, you know, we think we know about until you're actually faced with your own attitudes and perceptions and things. And they're challenged a lot when you're actually dealing face-to-face with people who are not from your culture, kind of thing. And I think as a Tasmanian, that was, you know, when I went to school, we were taught there were no Tasmanian Aboriginal people. You know, I've learned a lot about myself. So, yeah, I definitely feel part of the community. I feel embraced by the community, but I'm also well aware that my what I've learned and my perceptions are very much by those school years, but also the fact that I'm not Aboriginal and my journey has not been at all like their journey.
And this is it for this episode of our podcast series. Thank you to our guests today, Carletta Thomas, guide, and Jill Parsi, general manager from the Walkalina Walk. I'm Kerry Lee Harding, and this is the NITV podcast. And you can listen to our other NITV podcasts, Take It Black and Ballin' Out. And you can listen just by going to where you get your podcasts.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.